When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is 295, but I'm going to double check quickly.
Then who the hell are we going to get on for 300?
Yeah, it's a good question.
We need to figure that out.
Yeah, we got another, 2 weeks probably before. Yeah, okay. This is 295. All right, let's get rolling in 3, 2, 1. Welcome, everyone, to episode 295 of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we are going to talk about All-Star snubs. We're also going to discuss the new All-Star format, go into the latest Knicks dysfunction, and plenty more. Before we get into that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going okay, Brian. I'm very emotional after last night's game, and the game started, the whole Lakers-Portland Kobe tribute started at around 4:30 in the morning. Mm. And usually that's the time where I'm like, nope, can't do it. I'm just
right.
But the emotions were just so high that the adrenaline actually chucked in a little bit. And wow, what a send off! What a send off! I was very impressed by everything.
Yeah, truly, kudos to the entire Lakers organization for, I mean, not only how they handled last night, how they've handled this unfathomably difficult week. We make fun of the Lakers a lot, especially the last few years when they were kind of down in the dumps. But this does speak to, why they're one of the preeminent franchises, not just in the NBA, but in all of sports. In their time of need, that community has come together so beautifully, and the whole NBA. I mean, we said it last episode that it's just been so great to see the entire NBA. Except, did you see the thing where the other night, I think it was when the Lakers tweeted a picture of Kobe and Gigi, and every team replied with a purple and gold heart?
No,
except
I didn't.
Except the Knicks flipped it. every team had the same order. I think it was purple and gold. And then the Knicks were the one team that did gold and purple.
Of course it was. Of course.
We'll get into the Knicks later. But wow. But yes, kudos to the Lakers for a very emotional night. And I know you want to give this guy praise as well, but kudos to Damian Lillard for channeling Kobe, MJ, every basketball legend ever. What he has done over the last 5 games is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, look, 48.4 points per game, 9.8 assists, 8.2 rebounds, and I don't even know how many threes because for some reason Basketball Reference is not loading for me, but a ton. Mm-hmm. He is playing with such ease right now, and it's also reflecting in the win column. I think they were 4 out of the last 5, right?
I'm trying to that sounds right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's just amazing. And here's the thing, you know, I've DM'd you a couple times, like, see, I knew we should have been Damon as a starter in the All-Star game somehow. And right. You were like, bye bye, Kawhi.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, maybe actually, yeah, I love Kawhi, but maybe that's fair. Maybe that's right. Fair.
Well, I mean, if you're going for like the who's the more fun angle, like Kawhi's not gonna give a damn about the All-Star game. He's gonna suit up for 5 minutes and they'll be like, all right, I'm good. Don't wanna risk an injury.
I said two hard screens and hit a mid-range jump shot. There we go.
Yeah. Right. Right. I'll play no defense, therefore this game is not important to me. Yeah, if I'm doing the math right, 19, 27, Dame, I believe, has hit 40 three-pointers in the last 5 games. I did see he's currently riding the longest streak in NBA history where a guy has attempted 10 threes a night and hit at least half of them.
All right. I'm going to say something, and people, they can hate me. I don't care. I've always said that there was a step down from Steph to the, like, the next one in line, and that was usually Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that step is no longer big. That's not a wide step anymore. He's there. He's in that same conversation.
I mean, he needs to sustain this, of course. Like,
right.
But, yeah, I mean, he's been sensational this season. He was very clearly and correctly named an All-Star reserve on Thursday. And by and large, more, like, you know, every website, Bleacher Report and CBS, ESPN, every single sports website, one of the staples you do every year after All-Stars come out are, okay, who were the snubs?
Yeah.
This year, more than ever, with a couple of exceptions that we'll get into, I think the NBA did a really good job. Like, I have more beef with the Rising Stars game snubs than I do with the All-Star game snubs.
Well, get in line, because Jackson Hayes is definitely...
Yep. Well, he apologized at least.
So, can we just like really briefly get into that?
Who had the saltiest response to being snubbed?
Yeah, no, but something else as well. Look, so before you and I started recording, you know, we were making a little bit fun of that video that Jackson Hayes posted, because that was really, really like the definition of petty.
Right.
However, at the same time, I think it's also so crucially important to remember that this is a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah,
he was getting slaughtered on social media, and you know what? I think to some extent it was absolutely warranted, and I think this was a good way for him to maybe realize, oh, okay, people are not going to respond positively to that, and maybe my employer is not going to like that I just trashed the entire league.
Right.
So I think this was a learning moment, and if he obviously the apology that was released was definitely made from his publicist, like,
yes.
Undoubtedly that was not his own words, I think. But I hope the feelings that was displayed in that apology are real, and I think we should give him the benefit of the doubt moving forward. I don't think this should be something that hangs over his head. It probably will, because the internet never forgets. But I hope that this won't be a thing that people just bring up over the next 5 to 10 years. He's a young kid. Like, he's not he's 2 years away from being able to drink. So give him a, laugh at him a little bit and just say, well, dude, and then go on with your day. It's fine.
Right.
And don't hold it over him for the next, from here on out. It happened. It is what it is.
It's the Rising Stars Challenge. No one should put that much stock into anything that's going on with that game, whether it's a butthurt reaction to not making it, whatever. Right. With that said, it's an absolute travesty that Matisse Thybulle is not in that game. I didn't have many. There's a couple things that in the All-Star game that I think you can at least argue about, but nothing like so egregious. Matisse Thybulle not being in the Rising Stars Challenge is egregious. That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, so there's a chance that he'll get in, though, because Wendell Carter Jr. is not going to play. They need an injury replacement.
Was that not Zion?
No, really? Was it? I hadn't even seen that.
I don't know. I thought I saw a list yesterday, and there was one more person on the U.S. side than the world. So I assumed they had just tabbed Zion. Oh. But I could be wrong. I don't know. This is how much I care about anything. Chris Haynes just tweeted that Matisse Thybulle did not make it, and I got like white hot rage for about 3 seconds, and I was like, wait a second, it's the Rising Stars game. But then the rage took back over for another 10 seconds, and then I sent one angry tweet and went out of my house. I was fine.
Well, here's the thing. You want him in a competition that's all about running and gunning, and he's a defender. Like, what exactly? Like, you basically just said, well, you know, Kawhi and the All-Star game, like, he's not going to be interested because it's defense. Well, that same logic applies to Thybulle and the rookie.
No, because Thybulle's not hurt. Like, Kawhi is maintaining a chronic injury, and he's,
that's true.
You know, he's like, he is very clearly load maintenancing or injury maintenancing his way through the regular season. I don't think he's going to take any risks. Matisse, you know, Matt Moore of the Action Network, after the Matisse news came out, he tweeted like, you know what? I actually get why the assistant coaches didn't vote for him, because they don't want their players to be speared in the middle of the court as they're lazily dribbling up, and then Matisse comes flying in. Like, that kid just does not know how to do anything but defend like a hornet's nest.
That's actually pretty solid logic. I got to give Matt that one. That's nice. Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. That's not bad. I agree. Yeah. No, I mean, look, I've been a big proponent of actually adding defense to the All-Star weekend for years now, so I would have loved it. Just bring in this guy who's all about defense and let him just tear everyone up. So, Luka Doncic is, I don't know if he is, if he's going to be healthy enough to, but he has no business playing in the rookie game.
Same with Trae Young. I mean, both of those guys are named to the actual All-Star starting lineup and are also in the rookie. Yeah.
Like, I think it would almost be cheap to put them in that game on some level.
And I can't imagine they want to play in it, right? Maybe. But
maybe it's a good place to actually build relationships for down the road. Like, hey, you know what? Let's keep in touch over the summer and over the season. And then maybe that guy eventually becomes a free agent. And you're like, hey, I'm very glad I built this relationship with you a couple years back to that awful All-Star event. Like, maybe there's something good that came out of this. Now let's, you know, come over here and sign with us, maybe. I mean, is the rookie game or whatever you call, like, what is it called even?
The Rising Stars
Challenge. Rising Stars Challenge. There we go. Oh my god, that's such a horrible name. just go back to rookie game. That has some appeal.
Well, it's because it's not. I mean, now they split it.
I know.
U.S. versus world instead of.
Yeah, I don't care. And it's the first and second year. It doesn't matter. Just call it the rookie game. It's fine. Even if you're a second year guy, you're kind of sort of a rookie still. It's fine.
Yeah.
But that is basically the place where, like, guys meet up for the first time and start developing these relationships across teams. Like, maybe that's where the NBA should be like, maybe it's not a good idea to put all these guys together so very, very young where they build a relationship and later on, completely circumvent the rules to sign on.
Well, no, I mean, now they have relationships dating back to AAU. Like, you know, Zion and Ja Morant have been teammates before they even got in the NBA, so.
Now, that pairing, I wouldn't mind see some rules being bent to make happen.
Right? That would be fun. Not to wish that upon the Pelicans or the Grizzlies, of course. Like, that would.
I don't care. I want to see those two guys because look, that's like Gary Payton and Sean Kemp on steroids. Not actual steroids because those guys are definitely clean, but you know what I mean. Like those.
Well, then you're gonna have to watch the All-Star game next year because both of those guys are probably gonna be in it. And you're gonna have to hope they get selected to the same team.
This is true, but look, under the new format, I would.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky?
In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we'll get into that. Let's after this rookie sophomore rising stars whatever non sequitur, let's go into actual All-Star game busts, because I think there is one that right away caught my eye, and then there was another one that I'm not sure whether it was his agent complaining, his trainer complaining, his fiance complaining, his coach complaining, him complaining, or fans of his team complaining. Lots of complaints about this guy. So let's do the Western Conference first. Mm. When we went through our ballots on Tuesday, we had a consensus on Gobert, Jokic, Donovan Mitchell, Dame, Brandon Ingram. All of them made it in. The last two were Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. The one guy that I think is a legitimate, if I had to pick one snub from either conference that I think is like, he has a legit beef here, it's Devin Booker.
Yep.
And it's nothing against Russell Westbrook, but Westbrook definitely went, he's been much better lately.
He has.
But there was a time in the season, you know, I took my victory lap on this podcast very early in November, and you were like, are you just doing this because you know it's not going to last? And I said, yes. And then for about a month, the victory lap was, it looked like I timed that very well, because Russ was actively harmful to the Rockets. He has been much better since, you know, mid-December, I would want to say.
Yeah, that's
easy. Yeah, but there was a stretch in there that he was just a nightmare. Whereas, you know, the Suns are terrible, which is a surprise to no one outside of Suns Twitter, unfortunately. Or I shouldn't say terrible, mediocre. They, you know, they were missing Ayton for a long time, which obviously didn't help. Baines has been hurt. Like, they have not had great injury luck. But, like, for that team to be 20-27, and Devin Booker, I mean, the guy's averaging 27 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He's shooting 51% from the field, 36 from three on 5.3 attempts per game.
Wasn't it 6 assists and 4 rebounds?
Yeah, 6.5 assists, 4 rebounds.
Yeah, because I think I saw some stats saying that no player had ever been left off the All-Star game if he averaged over 27 points, 6 assists, and a true shooting percentage of over 60.
Yeah, I think that was from Gerald.
Yeah, I think it was, yes.
Yeah, friend of the podcast. And then he tweeted the welcome to hell meme right after, as he was describing what it's like to be a Suns fan, which was very fitting. But if you dig into advanced metrics, Booker's beating Russ in PER, true shooting percentage, win shares, box plus minus, value over replacement player. It's hard to find a case for Russ over Booker other than the Rockets are better than the Suns. But by the way,
name recognition, right?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's just like coaches at that point were lazy and were just like filling out the 12th spot, didn't really put that much thought into it.
Well, see, you just raised something really interesting there. Why is it that whenever players come, you know, the players' votes come back and are made public, everyone is like, oh, the players don't take this seriously. But if if the coaches don't take it too seriously, no, there's no outrage. Why is that? Are basketball players just being looked at as lesser basketball minds? Like, I'm just not understanding the thought process here.
Do we see? I don't think the actual coach voting totals have come out, have they?
I don't know.
I don't think they ever get released. Because, like, the player vote, I mean, to some extent, a lot of them don't take, like, if you really dig into the results, the list of names that always picks up a couple votes is, like, these are literal players in the G League. Like, right, Mariel Shayok for the 76ers, who is on a two-way contract and has not played a single minute in the NBA this season, as best I remember. He got a vote for the All-Star game. So the criticism, to some extent, does make sense. But I think like coaches in this particular instance, I would love to hear, maybe they're approaching it from a game planning perspective, but at the same time, I can't imagine your game planning for Russell Westbrook thinking like, well, this is the one guy we can't let beat us, because you're also game planning for James Harden. Right. If anything, I think a lot of the game plan for, you know, when Russ hit that cold streak was like, all right, we're going to do this like box in one or throw doubles at Harden as soon as he crosses the half court line. And we're going to make Russ beat us and dare him to shoot from three, and he's not going to hit, and he's going to shoot his team out of the game. Whereas Booker, it's like, well, that guy is clearly the number one option on the Suns. Like, he must be very difficult to game plan for as well.
Agreed. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if coaches aren't inclined to take this serious, then where's the outrage there?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fair question. I'm sure it... I would assume the team success angle is probably, and maybe it just plain name recognition, or, you know, the assumption that Devin Booker doesn't play defense, which isn't as true as it used to be.
Right. No, he's become more well-rounded, and like, yeah, he's still got ways to go. But if we're talking about defense, like, Russ is not exactly known for that end of the floor as well.
Yeah, or at least as of late. I mean, he racks up a ton of steals, but a lot of that is because he gambles and falls asleep or gets out of position whenever he gambles and misses.
Exactly. Like, yeah. But here's the thing. It's reputation, right? He came into the league, amazingly, as a defensive-oriented two-guard. And then he became an offensive-oriented one. That's very weird.
Point guard,
But he basically played 3 years of defense in his initial 3 years and then was like, nope, I like scoring more.
Yeah.
And then since then has not been close to being the same level, you know, impactful defensive player that he was when he started his career. Yet the reputation still lives on, because for 3 years people were told by commentators, oh, this guy plays his heart out on defense, because he did. And then, yeah, after that it was like, oh, okay, then he does that all the time. It's amazing how long reputations last.
Well, those are the few metrics in which Russ does bleat Devin Booker, is defensive win shares, and defensive box plus minus is one of the biggest swings. Westbrook is plus 1.0, Booker is minus 1.9.
Well, I'm not saying Book is good on defense.
Yeah, right. Also, Book has a higher turnover percentage than Russell Westbrook this year, which I never would have expected.
Well, I think that actually makes some sense, because Booker is the primary ball handler in Phoenix, I would argue. Like, he handles the ball so much, and he has to take on so much responsibility. He's the primary shot taker as well. Whereas in Houston, there is the James Harden element. Like, he is very much on the ball. He's very much a playmaker. He's very much the guy who makes decisions. And I get that Russ takes, you know, some turns with the ball in his hands as well. But I think that kind of offsets it a little bit. Whereas Russ in OKC, that was just him all the time. Like, he was just bound to get 5 to 6 turnovers a game. Now he has to share a lot of turnovers in that regard.
So now he's down to 4.4. Progress.
It's not great.
No. But yeah, other than that, I mean, there are some, I guess you could have argued for DeMar DeRozan or LaMarcus Aldridge. Paul George probably missed too much time. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's going to make it in at some point. Like,
Okay. Why is that a valid argument? Like, I've seen that all over the place. Like, whenever a young guy is not selected, he's like, oh, okay, it's fine. He'll make it down the road. Like, why is it that we somehow push this off? If a guy is deserving, and I would actually argue that the SGA is, like, why do we keep pushing it because they're young? Like, that seems really awful to me.
I think Chris Paul is more deserving this season than SGA.
You think so? Well, yeah, it's a debate. That's absolutely for sure. I'm not saying that, you know, it's not worth a discussion, but I definitely see some value in SGA in terms of being, you know, both a playmaker and a scorer, a very underrated defender as well, like a very good rebounder, and I think, to his credit, like, he's finding success playing, I don't want to say out of position because the NBA is basically positionless at this point.
Yeah, but like on and off the ball.
Yeah. Like I think for him being more on the ball is probably the way you want to play him moving forward. At least that's my take on it.
Yeah.
I think he's just done so well. And that's not saying that Chris Paul is not deserving. But
right.
I've seen that argument all over Twitter and like basically, you know, the NBA stratosphere just, well, it's okay that young guys don't get selected because they'll get their due later on. And I just think there's a flawed, you know, ideology behind that, because are you then saying when Blake Griffin made it in his rookie season that, well, someone else should have made it?
No, I just think in general, I think Chris Paul is more deserving this year. But like the argument is that Chris Paul is more deserving, but also SGA has got more time. But like, if you want to try to find a metric where SGA is better than Chris Paul.
Yeah, well, Chris Paul is like the advanced stats king. So that's always going to be difficult. But it's just basically an annoyance. Like last year when Luka didn't make the All-Star game,
I think
he was so absolutely deserving even as a rookie that it was it was such a poor decision not to take him in. But I don't know. I've just seen that sentiment over Twitter a lot, and I think it's flawed. I don't think it's as cut and dry.
Yeah, if SGA was genuinely having a much better season than Chris Paul, and Chris Paul got it because it's like, oh, well, we got to give it to him while he's still around, then I'd agree. But, I mean, I think the argument is Chris Paul has been better this season, but also SGA's got more time. Like,
well, I mean, just take Chris Paul out of the equation. Like, even if it's not Paul, even if it's someone else,
Westbrook.
For example, let's take Westbrook. I mean, I would take SGA over Westbrook at this point. Yes, I would.
I mean, if you're talking about a player to build around moving forward, then yes.
No, I was talking about All-Star.
This season?
I would. But again, I'm also not in love with Russell Westbrook's playing style.
Oh, really?
In case you hadn't heard. No, I just think that the whole thing with the guy will get his due is a very old-fashioned take.
Okay, well, let's go to the East, because the other... Honestly, I thought the East was... You could sort of nitpick, but it's Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, DeMontis Sabonis, Chris Middleton, all of whom we said were locks. Kyle Lowry, you know, I have no beef with him. And then that last spot we said, you know, on the last episode was between Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Bradley Beal, Spencer Dinwiddie. Tatum's the one who ended up getting it.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal said he was a little pissed off about not getting it.
Good.
His agent releases a ridiculously long statement in which he says, it's unprecedented for a player to have the type of season that Brad is having to not be in the All-Star game. And I think the Eastern Conference coaches have sent a horrible message. They just want to reward players that are on winning teams. Brad made a decision to be loyal to a franchise and be patient. He could have been a bandwagon jumper. It would have been guaranteed to be the All-Star game, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to be loyal to his organization, and the coaches in the NBA are holding it against Brad that he was loyal to his organization. So, here's my deal with Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
He's having an excellent season by, you know, any standard. Like, averaging a career high.
Is that a new segment? Here's the deal with Bradley Beal?
It should be.
Yeah.
Well, isn't he the real deal Beal? Isn't that
what that's true.
Yeah. Averaging a career high almost 29 points a game, 6.5 assists, 5.5 rebounds, shooting 45.3% from the floor. Not career high, but 2.6 threes a game. So per game stats, bananas. Like, totally deserving in that case. Now, I noted this on Twitter, though, that in real plus minus, which again, this is one statistic, it is not the be-all and end-all, and like if you go by per-game metrics, he's been great. If you go by PIPM, or like offensive PIPM at least, he's been great. But in real plus-minus, he is currently 92nd out of 128 in shooting guards alone. If you search by defensive real plus-minus, excluding Josh Jackson, who has played 2 games... He has the league's worst defensive plus-minus, worse than the guy right above him is Trae Young, And the guy right above both of them is Isaiah Thomas, who I swear is actively trying to throw games. He is that bad on defense. So I get the argument that Brad, you know, again, like, you were on a bad team, sure. You're putting up monster numbers, sure. Your team is almost designed to inflate your numbers. You're running at a super high pace, and you play the worst defense in the league by far. They're the second worst, currently the second worst defense in NBA history, behind only the Cavs last year. So, you know, I'm not outraged over Bradley Beal missing the All-Star game, but what about you? Are you as mad as Mark Bartlestein or whatever his agent's name is?
Well, no, because I don't earn money off of Bradley Beal's contract.
Yet.
If I did, yes, absolutely, I'm very outraged, and everything is a sham, of course. No, I'm not. I still think he's a deserving All-Star, and I also think defensive metrics are very, very noisy.
Yeah, of course.
So I always have a problem with the whole, you know, defensive plus minus, because I think defense ultimately boils down to a team thing. Like, it is so difficult to evaluate players individually on defense. Even, like, I know blocks and steals, but those never tell the full story. And that is at least something that the general public has picked up on. Like, you will find even casual basketball fans now saying that, yeah, well, steals and blocks, they're noisy. Mm-hmm. We just have not developed anything that shows the proper value of a guy towards defense. Like, we have to use a lot of the eye test. And that's not me saying that Bradley Beal is a good defender. Not by any means. He is not good. But I don't think, you know, when you look at those numbers and you present those, I think there's enough noise factor there that I don't think it should preclude him just off of that single metric.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Having said that, I mean, who do you take him over? That's the one in one out game, as you like to call it, before we start recording. Like, who do you take out? Do you take Kyle Lowry out? Like, do you take Chris Middleton out?
Definitely not.
Ben Simmons? No. I mean,
I think Tatum would be the one guy. He's the one guy that I was, like, not totally sure about.
But then you have Jaylen Brown, who didn't make it. Like, should Jaylen Brown make it instead of over Bradley Beal or even Jason Tatum? Like, it's like I said last time, someone is always going to end up getting screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, like, a good problem for the NBA to have, right? To have too many deserving candidates for not enough spots. And,
well, yes and no, because here's if the same players are left off, i.e. Mike Conley, then that player's not getting marketed the same way. And then, you know, Mike Conley is still one of the most, even though he's not having a good year right now, but I would argue that Mike Conley has had the most underrated career of any NBA point guard in history.
In history?
Yes. Because it's underappreciated. He played in a city and a market that wasn't really all that attractive. So there weren't a whole lot of national televised games. They played a brand of basketball that wasn't really enticing or appealing to the consumer. And he wasn't being featured in All-Star games, which could have raised his level of at least marketability. So I think on his, in terms of appreciation and in terms of, you know, being a household name, I think Mike Conley is, yes, the most underrated guard, point guard at the very least, in NBA history. And not in terms of on-floor impact, because the smart people know that he was excellent, but it's just in people's minds and, like, you know, who he is.
Who is the... Is it Vinny Goodwill that... I was about to say we need to get Andy Bailey and Vinny Goodwill both on this pod at the same time so they can have the Isaiah Thomas debate, because that's the first guy who jumps to mind we're talking about.
I would love that, but here's the problem with that. I don't think that Spreaker would allow us to publish an 11-hour pod.
Yeah, right, with that many curses. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it would basically be like you would have 20-minute segments of just beeps.
Yeah, right.
It wouldn't work. No, I Isaiah Thomas, I always found that thing idiotic, like saying he was underrated. Like, yeah, I know that he wasn't valued probably in the same sense, but like people, he played in what, 1994? That was when he retired. People still know who he is.
Yeah.
Like he won
championships. Not for the right reasons.
No. that's part of his legacy. Look, that's part of it. Like him screwing up the Knicks. That's part of it. Him freezing out MJ in the 1985 NBA All-Star game. That's part of his legacy. Him not making the Dream Team, in part also because of Michael being petty. Part of his legacy. But he was still an All-Star. He was a champion. Like he was in the visual field. Whereas a guy like Mike Conley, like if you picked up like 100 very casual NBA fans and asked them about Mike Conley, right, I bet you there would be a significant percentage of those people going, "Who?"
That's fair. He's definitely got a case. Like, I mean, he's better. He's too good to have never made an All-Star game, and now, this season in Utah has been weird for him. We'll see if he turns it around and maybe he can get in there next year.
That's kind of my point. It's over.
Yeah, the ship has probably sailed.
It has, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you can say it's a good problem for the NBA to have in terms of like the quantity of talent, or both quality and quantity of talent. But if those people like are not being put on that stage at some point, like you're also wasting just wonderful marketing material as well.
Yeah.
In terms of broadening the league, then you should just sort of once in a while say, well, let's take one guy out who's also deserving, but he was in last year or he's been in the the last 3 years. Maybe let's put a guy in who hasn't been there who's equally deserving. Like,
yeah.
What would be the harm in that?
Well, the good thing is that this year in particular, we have a ton of guys making their All-Star game debut. And it's not just Luka and Trey and the starting lineups, but we have Bam, Sabonis, Tatum, Gobert, Mitchell, Ingram. So like we're getting that next generation of guys.
Young, Doncic.
Yeah. Yeah. Some like good national exposure, which is great to see.
Because people don't know who Luka Doncic is.
I mean, I honestly bet casual NBA fans have no idea how good Bam or Sabonis are.
Yeah. No, I agree. Especially Sabonis. Sabonis.
I saw, there's one NBA analyst in particular who said Sabonis was the worst All-Star pick in a long time, who shall go nameless. But also Drew Hanlon, who is Beal's trainer among other people, he said if you average less than 20 points a game, you shouldn't be an All-Star.
Wow.
So no Sabonis, no Ben Simmons, no Bam.
Well, whoever that NBA analyst, is who said that, I know that he has a wildly fantastic photo of himself on an outside basketball court.
Yes.
What's the word of John Oliver? Cool.
Let's just move on.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we'll stay with the All-Star for one more piece of news, because this came out this week that the All-Star game format is changing. And apparently these changes...
Before you go on to that one, Brian, just give our listeners a chance, okay? Because when that came out, the entire timeline was filled with people trying to make like calculus right. in their head. Just right. like you have to stay calm when Brian informs you of these changes.
Yes. Okay. So first, these changes were in the works before the horrible news about Kobe on Sunday, but once that came out, they tweaked it a little bit more, apparently. So here's like the dumbest downed version of
yes.
it.
Yes, explain like I'm five, right?
Right. Yeah. So every quarter, they're going to quote-unquote reset the score. And that just means whichever team wins that quarter, they're going to donate money to that team of choice's charity. Then they're both going to – Team Giannis and Team LeBron are going to pick charities in Chicago to donate money to, which is great. So they each receive $100,000 per quarter. So they like reset the score, but they're still going to keep track of the cumulative score. At the end of the third quarter, the team with the lead, they're going to say, so let's say, you know, the score is 100-95. Team LeBron is up. In the fourth quarter, it's going to just be first team to get to 124 points. So whichever team's in the lead, they're going to add 24 to that score. And then the first team to that number wins the whole game. So if it's
Team Giannis,
yeah, right. Yeah. So if it's Team Giannis, they would have to, in this scenario, they enter the fourth quarter with 95 points. They would need to score 29 before Team LeBron scores 24. So it's ultimately going to shorten the fourth quarter a lot, I think.
It's going to be like 2 minutes long.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've been averaging 35 to 40 points a quarter. So, you know, it's probably going to be like 6, 7, 8 minutes instead of 12, which is fine. No one needs to get hurt during the All-Star game. So when this came out, I was most intrigued by it because you tweeted at me and you said this might actually make you watch the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So why do you like it?
Because there's a level of competitiveness in the final frame.
Mm.
I like it. It's something different. And here's the thing. Because there's the Kobe angle of the plus 24,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, players are going to take it so seriously. They yeah. are not going to be fooled around like that because there's a Kobe element to this that they have to respect and that they have to adhere to. I think this could be the most competitive, at least in the final frame, All-Star mm-hmm. game that we have had since 2001. And I know you remember 2001.
Yeah.
Because your boy won MVP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I think, if nothing else, I mean, I think the goal with the quote-unquote resetting the score in the first three quarters is to make those more competitive as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you're down in the final 2 minutes and the score is within 5 points, all right, I'm gonna, you know, I had a couple baskets here. I play a little defense. My charity gets $100,000. I come out looking great. So
yeah, see,
we'll see.
Maybe here's the thing, right? So for NBA players, $100,000, like we talked about before, that's mm-hmm. a drop in the bucket. So let's say right. you know LeBron's team loses the $100,000 to that charity. You know, right after the game, LeBron is going to be like, "Yo,
yeah,
here's a check."
Definitely.
So I don't think that, I think it's the Kobe element that's going to carry this one. And then we'll yeah. see next year. I mean,
yeah.
How old was David Stern? He was 70, 77, 74. I don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
No, that should be the score next year. Then to make up for it, because it's going to be like 8 minutes this fourth quarter. Right. Next year, this fourth quarter is going to be like 25 minutes. There we go.
Or maybe they do a target half score instead of a target quarter score.
Oh, yes. That could be something. Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Like, 100,000, like, look, I'm not going to look a gift horse in his mouth. That's a lot yeah. of money for every single charity.
Yeah.
I will say that if that number had been significantly higher,
mm-hmm.
I think that would have been a little bit more appealing because then there would have been a little bit higher of a public pressure as well yeah. on the players yeah. to yeah. actually make this happen.
right.
Like, they could still cut a check, of course, but I think it's more difficult to cut a check for, let's say, $5 million than it is $100,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be that person who goes on Twitter and is like, oh, this, you know, they're donating this much and it's only a this percentage right. of their income, because it's like, yes, there's, as you said, it's still a lot of money, which is yeah. great to see. And I really do love the fact that it's going to Chicago community efforts yeah. or organizations, like the fact that, you know, kind of incentivizing cities to say, oh, okay, well, if you host the All-Star game, we know this is going to be, you know, a big lift in terms of getting everything organized and getting all the people where they need to be. Here's, we'll like try to make it worth your effort, worth your headache by, you know, donating money to programs in your city that need it. So that's great.
Agreed. And just to, you know, clarify, I was not being, you know, dismissive of the, $100,000. Yeah. That's a great, great asset for everyone. I'm just saying, you know, there would be a little bit more added benefit for the players.
Yeah. Right. And that's what it always comes down to. It's always like, well, if you know, it's a great amount, but you can always give more and then they'll care more about it. And it's the same, you know, we talked about the in-season tournament earlier this year and how can they get people to care about, or how can they get players to care about that? And, you know, we kind of came to the consensus, like, it's got to be $1 million per player. It's got to be a ton of money if you're going to make them care. And then it comes out later that they're considering giving $1 million per player. So shout out to anyone at the NBA listening to this podcast. We appreciate you stealing our ideas.
So I've been thinking about how to market the All-Star game a little bit better and more. You know how teams have like taglines for seasons, like the late Bulls in like the 98, they had the last dance.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. I think for the All-Star game, it's the 69th All-Star game, so it should just be called Nice.
Nice, yeah. The Nice game.
Yeah, it should just be called Nice. Internet culture would love that.
Yeah.
Like, you would have so many people who aren't even into basketball just tuning in because that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, just call it Nice.
I saw enough people, you know, because All-Star credentials came out recently and people were posting like excitedly that they got credentialed for the All-Star game, and pretty much on every credential, because it said 69th All-Star game, like every single Twitter reply had some variation of Nice. Yeah.
I think that could be a lot of fun. It's like, you know how the Super Bowl, I know this is just a number, like, but Super Bowl 49, Super Bowl 50, is that like, maybe do something along those lines with the All-Star game. Like, make it a little bit more epic. It might be a little bit cringeworthy at first, especially for all, you know, for us who live and breathe the game.
Right.
But I think for the general public, it could be a lot of fun. Or maybe just make sure that your halftime show is like Fast and the Furious cars driving around. Just get the Fast and the Furious, like take notes from the Fast and the Furious franchise and just insert it into the NBA All-Star weekend somehow. I don't know how, just do it. Make it even more ridiculous than the last.
You need to get a WWE personality, and then when that WWE personality gets too big, it gets its own spin-off series, then you get a different WWE personality. So John Cena is in the Fast movies, Ronan Reigns is in the Fast movies, The Rock is in the Fast movies. Basically, we need Stone Cold Steve Austin, because Dame has come in wearing the Austin 316 shirt. I think what we need is Stone Cold Steve Austin to hit someone with a stunner during the dunk contest.
There we go.
And then they pop up and do a dunk.
I would love it. Or just put the All-Star game on the moon, because it's only a matter of time before the Furious franchise goes to space.
That's true. It might happen in Fast 9. I haven't watched the trailer yet. I'm trying to stay virgin eyes, virgin ears with the Fast 9 trailer.
I have. And I think you should watch the trailer. It gives nothing away. Well, actually, it does.
Well, it gives something huge away. I saw the stupid hashtag.
It does give something very huge away. But here's the point. You're right. It could definitely go to space.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they oh, man. That's exciting.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Let's move off of the All-Star game, Mort. We have to talk about the night that the New York Knicks had on Wednesday. Because
I'd rather talk about the Fast and the Furious, to be honest with you. Oh boy. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, let's get into it.
So they're playing Memphis. Memphis just destroys them, as pretty much every team that plays the Knicks this year has been doing. Jay Crowder in the final minute of the game, they're up 20. There's like 18 seconds left on the shot clock. He gets the ball, he's at the corner. He spots up for a three. Elfrid Payton takes exception to this and shoves him in midair, which is a super dangerous play. Like, I don't care that he's violating the unspoken rules of the NBA or whatever, he got suspended for one game. I'm frankly surprised it wasn't for longer. Like,
yep.
Oh my God.
They won the Knicks to at least win a couple games, so I guess that's...
And then... So I thought, I see that clip going out, and I'm working Wednesday night, so, like, we're editing a story about that. I'm not paying attention to what's happening after, and my coworker DMs me, and he's like, a hearty F you to Marcus Morris. I'm like, Marcus Morris? I thought it was Elfrid Payton who did the shove. And then we got the story a couple minutes later where Marcus Morris, after the game, addresses what Jay Crowder did. And he says, and I quote, he plays the game a different way. He's got a lot of female tendencies on the court, flopping and throwing his head back the entire game. It's a man's game, and you just get tired of it. He also added, when you step back and shoot a three and, like, rub it in, he's unprofessional. He's soft. His game is soft. He's very womanlike.
Oh, Marcus, where have you been the last 3 years?
Three.
Saying, like, the basically, I know I'm actually referring to the Me Too thing, because that's when we really, really started to properly put an emphasis on the way that we describe women as well.
It's not just
the sexual, like, assaults and all of that. It's the way we address women, in both in the workplace and privately and all that, so that's what I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's he quickly apologized, which I'm sure, because, like, the second it came out, everyone was just like, oh no, you're out,
you're canceled,
screw this guy. Yeah, like, F this guy, as the only correct response. And, you know, he came out and said, I apologize for using the term female tendencies. I have the utmost respect for women and everything they mean to us. It was a heat-of-the-moment response, and I never intended for any women to feel as though I'm in any way disrespecting them. Again, I apologize. Which, whether it's sincere or not, I mean, I would assume it was a publicist running to Marcus Morris afterward, be like, what did you do?
You know what? I think Marcus Morris, he got a text message from his publicist.
Yeah.
Saying, I just released something. I know it was without your approval, but I don't care. I'm trying to save your ass.
Right. I just released something. It's you from our contract. Yeah. Good luck. Good luck finding someone else, you brag idiot. Here's my thing, though. Like, I don't care if it's a heat of the moment thing.
Right.
Like, the fact that you went there speaks to an underlying prejudice that you have. And, like, he's gone on Twitter repeatedly, like, Liz Cambage from the WNBA was just like, oh, female tendencies, huh? And he, sent a direct reply to her being like, look, I haven't meant no offense, whatever. But it speaks to an underlying prejudice that you think women, he said, he's soft, his game is soft, he's very womanlike. You're associating weakness with women, which that's just not good. That's not, we should be past that. And I'm glad so many people called him out right away on it, because it does speak to, like, oh no, that's, you can't say that. You maybe once, you know, you, the term soft and athlete and weak has been associated probably since the start of any athletic endeavor, especially American football. But
oh, there we go. You said American football. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you Euros just flop everywhere. You're all... I'm not going to say you're all womanlike, because, like again, it's just like, don't associate females with weakness, and then don't say it, like, don't call someone, you know, it's like, I don't know if this movie has made its way to Denmark. I hope it has, but there is a movie called The Sandlot that...
We're not in space, man.
You've seen The Sandlot?
I haven't. I actually don't.
Oh, there you go. You dick. Okay, so it's a movie about, like, a bunch of little kids playing baseball in this, like, backyard all summer. And at one point, they get challenged by this, like, I guess a travel team. And they're just, you know, trading insults back and forth. Like, butt licker, blah, blah, blah. And then the little catcher goes, "You play ball like a girl." And everyone's like, and that was where the line is drawn. And when, you know, in, like, this movie came out in the 90s. When you're 8, that's funny.
Yeah, but I'm like, just looking at this now. It came out in 1993, and you asked me if we have it over here, you racist.
Oh, I don't. It's a movie about, like, American baseball little kids. I don't know.
Nicely saved. It takes 27 years for a movie to make its way from the United States to Denmark, right? Yep.
I'm just saying, I don't know if it would have been of interest to a Danish person.
I can tell you, for the record, that I can buy this for $2.50 on Google Play, so it's absolutely available.
You should show Bruce. It's a great movie.
Huh. I mean, I like showing him sports movie. I think he fell asleep in Moneyball, but
this movie is made for his age range. It's when they go on.
The question is whether I want to watch it.
Oh no, I watched it recently. It still holds up. It's excellent. It's a perfect movie.
With child actors. All right, well, I'll give it a shot the day that it comes over, you dick.
Good. Well, my overall point is that, like, that is when you're in that mentality. When you're 8 and you think girls have cooties, and, like, that's when it's, oh, no, you play ball like a girl. When you're saying, like, he's soft, he's very womanlike. When you're a 30-year-old man in the NBA, when you have exposure to the WNBA and see these athletes who could kick your butt, or, like, kick 99% of the population's butt.
Well, it's Marcus Morris, though. You have to take into account who it is. His equivalent is probably someone age 7.
Yeah.
I mean, look, what was it? Like, he had an issue with a guy, or someone had an issue with a guy, and he not only brought his twin brother, Markeith, but also 6 other people to kick someone's ass. Like, one person, right?
So I basically, I'm glad everyone called him out immediately. If that wasn't your gut reaction, it should have been.
I had a different gut reaction, to be honest with you. Like, instead of just being upset, the first thing I thought of when he, you know, did the whole, you know, thing implying that being a woman is somehow weak. Was I've observed 2 births. I have 2 sons. Like, obviously, they were born, and I was there. Having gone through experiences like that, if you have, and then afterwards you have this opinion of women being weak, you go F yourself so hard.
Yeah.
Like, then something is wrong with you, and you should seek professional help, like, immediately.
Yeah. As my wife is in the midst of her 30-hour ICU shift right now,
yes,
the woman is weak thing is lost upon me. But somehow, the Knicks' bad night didn't even end there. Because as the fight was breaking out, teams or fans in the stands were chanting, "Sell the team" at James Dolan. And then afterward, apparently Ja Morant comes out and says there's no water in the showers at all. Like, the showers just weren't working in the visiting locker room. Truly a banner night for the New York Knicks franchise.
Here's the problem, right? You know, we laugh and we joke and we kid, and they, you know, it's a banner night for the Knicks.
Yeah.
We just know, all of us, that within a couple months, there's going to be something new. Mm-hmm. And then that's going to stoke the fire again. And then it's going to quiet down. And then a couple months later, something dumb is going to shear his head again. It's just this perpetual ride, right? It's not even like there's no break for Knicks fans to just basically say, oh my God, we've had like 2 years or three years of no drama. Mm-hmm. Things are actually kind of working. We're maybe not making the playoffs, but we're playing competitive. Like, James Dolan is quiet. No former Knick legend is being thrown out of the garden.
Right.
Like, it's just doesn't happen. There has to be a level of drama and complicity, you know, complexity. And it's just, wow. It's amazing how this franchise is just still such a mess from top to bottom. It's astounding, really. It should go in the Guinness Book of World Records on some of the most incompetent sports franchise.
Yeah. And, I mean, we don't even have to wait a couple months for incompetence to reign again, because the trade deadline is on Thursday, and all season, you know, even dating back to the off season when they didn't get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, shockingly, and they instead pivoted to this plan of just sign a bunch of, you know, renegade free agents who are going to mercenaries, basically, who are going to be playing on effectively 1 year deals. We said, all right, well, the one thing they can do, because they didn't use their cap space to get picks like they should have, one thing they could do is at the trade deadline, flip those veterans for picks and play your young players for at least half of the year. Now there are reports coming out saying that the Knicks are probably not going to trade Marcus Morris, who is in the midst of a career year. And this is from Ian Begley of SNY. He said, it's worth noting that at least one team in touch with the Knicks recently was left with the impression that Morris and New York have strong mutual interest in reaching an agreement in free agency this summer. So, in terms of the trade deadline, teams interested in Morris will probably be less likely to make a significant offer to New York, since the chances of that team re-signing him are diminished.
Could be a smokescreen to try to like inflate his trade value. Like, just to play devil's advocate just a little bit.
I hope so.
Yes. But at the same time, we can't be sure, man.
Yeah, I mean, because Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report, had the same report today, or something along those lines, where it was just like, yeah, the Knicks want to re-sign this guy.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, look, if there's an NBA organization who loves women and never does anything wrong in that area, that's the New York Knicks, so why not?
Yeah, Bucher's report was they consider the 30-year-old veteran more valuable than anything they could acquire at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I would find someone with those remarks very, very attractive as well. Wow.
Yeah, he really boosted his trade value significantly this week. Yeah,
maybe that's even why they thought, oh, let's keep him around. He seems to have the right mindset.
Let's just promote him to president right now.
Yep. Seems good. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I'm sure, honestly, this is probably not the last time we will be telling jokes about the Knicks this week. So
no, that's true.
Glad we got to warm up for a few minutes today, because as mentioned, the trade deadline is Thursday. I mean, the league has been understandably very quiet this week in terms of trade rumors. In large part, the first half of the week, it sounds like just everyone was kind of in shock and not really focusing on the business side of basketball. But I would think, especially these next couple days, business will pick up a little bit. We'll start to hear some more rumors. So we will presumably be able to record one more episode before the deadline, in which we will talk about kind of the big names who could be moved and where they might make sense. But yeah, otherwise, buckle up for what seems to be a not very exciting trade deadline based on all the reports coming out, you know, 5 or 6 days beforehand.
You know how the Knicks could actually really send a very strong message to honor the late Kobe Bryant?
How?
If they get the 8th pick in the draft, they could trade it for number 24.
Just for nothing else. Just,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What?
Exactly. It has to be straight up. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a fair tribute.
Yeah. Yeah. They might. I agree. That's a. Unfortunately, I think they're going to be too high in the lottery to fall that far.
Maybe, I mean, not, look, it was, it's, it, look, it, that's the kind of deal the Ringer would propose. So, I mean,
yeah, yeah. That's true. We've unfortunately been devoid of our new sponsor trade proposals for the last couple episodes. So we will be back in full strength next time when we actually talk about trade stuff again. But I think that's probably a good place to wrap up, more now that we've alienated Knicks fans again. So thank you all for listening today. Please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bios, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. I'm off to see this new movie that we just got in Denmark. I heard it's fantastic. It's called The Godfather.
Just watch The Sandlot, and then you'll see what I mean. It's a great movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're a dick.
Bye, man.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.